Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Stacy. This is The Diary. I'm here with Ray on Sunday.
Hey.
On Sunday, February 21st. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 4, and this is The Diary, the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. I'm its host, Stacy, and the director of the program, of course. And today we have a fun-filled, history-packed show. So we have a lot of things that we're going to talk about. So just to go over a little bit, we're going to talk about, or we're going to give you the Black History or the Black Panther quiz first, and then we're going to talk about Black inventors, and we're going to actually start the whole thing with the history of how Black History Month got started.
Oh, cool.
So I think that's important. Of course, nobody knows because I didn't know. So, you know, and that's what I hate, man. I'm going to get to it real early.
Mm-hmm.
We Black people, we just take what they give us. Just like Kwanzaa, we just took it and they put it on, right? I celebrated it once until I started studying the history of Black Panthers, and I was absolutely Kwanzaa crap in the trash. Okay, anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about that, the history of Black History Month, and then also from the news this week. It's just so interesting. I tell you what, one day, I hope Black people are going to get really pissed off about their treatment, the way they're portrayed and looked at in American society today. I'm hoping one day most people are going to get pissed off just like me, but we're going to talk about also the UC San Diego students celebrating Black History Month in a racist way with gold teeth and baggy pants and eating fried chicken. And everybody loves fried chicken, so I don't even know why they do that. But anyway. Also, we're going to talk about the billion-dollar lawsuit won by Black farmers based on racial bias. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Michelle Obama, we're going to mention her a little bit and how she, like all good Black women, going to do speak out on what's real, okay, in society, and how, you know, she's out there speaking on racial issues and racial injustice and racism in America, unlike her husband. Which, you know, they're not stupid. Like I said, they're not stupid. They knew if they were going to be president and Miss First Lady, they had to play this game the way it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
Being the first Black president, they're not going to jump on Black people's wagon as soon as he takes the oath. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, because, first of all, if it was left up to Black people, I think Hillary Clinton would be president. And, you know what I mean? And
yes, I do.
He needs to be strategic, or else, you know, he's in all kind of situations where for his life or whatever, you know, and he's got to address the issues that would be addressed. And I think he did it smart. Do the financial issues first. He's a Black man raised in Black America, white America, a community organizer. You don't become a community organizer if you're not interested in making your community better. You know what I'm saying? That
of
takes
course.
A special kind of person to reach out. So he's fully aware of the injustices. He's fully aware. I'm sure that he is. So his wife is out there speaking on it where he can't really do it. And that's great. And that's what a good team is all about.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about my week out in the community of Natomas and what was accomplished this week. And I tell you what, you know, I'm going to die a warrior, a soldier for my Black people, first and foremost, and for children everywhere, secondly, and for poor people everywhere, thirdly. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So I was out there this week, did some wonderful things. I think that, you know, all I want to do is get my shot at it. That's why I get on people that have had their shot at it.
Right, and
AKA, right, and I'm not going to say no names because I know you love that old pimp.
Come on, out them.
I know you love that old pimp. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, I know you love them old pimps.
I don't love them. I just understand
that
they haven't always been.
You know, that's why I love people like you. Well, you just like me, I just jump on somebody's. You know, I just jump on. I don't care. You know, at least you give people the benefit of the doubt. I love people, and I'm learning as I get older
to
give people the benefit of the doubt. So, So, you know, I just, like I said, I want my shot at what
right.
they've had
yeah.
years.
No, they've had a great shot, and now it is time to
the younger, fresher
on the mantle.
Generation. And you know, and I was thinking all this week, you know, I was thinking, you know, people like that, they relish in and they enjoy thinking about the memory of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the memory of the dream. They enjoy that part of Martin Luther King's dream.
Yeah.
They enjoy relishing in the memory of what he was doing.
And being there when it was devised and developed
okay.
and all of that.
Well,
yeah.
that's wonderful.
Caught
that's
in
beautiful.
The past.
But caught in the past. And that's beautiful. But now my generation, the generation
right.
that he was, his cap was peeled back for, and that's how I feel.
Right.
I can't let my people down.
Absolutely.
He was killed for me. I was born in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the kid that he wanted to see walk hand in hand with the other kid. And
right,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? And
yeah.
I owe him a duty
yeah.
to continue. So they enjoy living in the memory of the dream, but I'm
mm-hmm.
enjoying making the dream a family reality.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on all kind of levels. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so,
I definitely do.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about,
okay.
too. You know,
sure.
So now, my week. We're going to talk about my week. My
uh-huh.
week out in the street. Okay. So we started the week off on Tuesday, me
yeah.
and Cheyenne. We went to a meeting with Pacific Housing Group, which
mm-hmm.
is, and let me tell you how things are done now since this big housing boom.
Yeah, please.
Okay. They have, they used to call them Section 8 back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
familiar to everybody.
Now, when developers out there building affordable housing, they're required to build affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax break to them as developers, if they receive a tax credit every year, okay, because they allow an outside source to come in and partly own that property, a.k.a. Pacific Housing, and I don't even know if I can mention them. I didn't ask them. But the people I'm dealing with, a.k.a. an offshoot where the developer owns a portion, the majority of the property, but then there's an outside source that comes in and owns a certain part of it.
Okay.
For their ownership, they give the developer a tax credit every year.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So the developer gets a tax credit every year for the life of whatever that agreement may be, and I don't know the specifics of that. But as part of that agreement, being affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
because they're selling them cheaper,
right.
blah, 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 and their benefit is the tax credit. But on the other end of that, they're required to bring programs to an affordable housing, usually means low-income families are able to live in very
right.
nice places for cheap.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So as a requirement of that tax credit, they are required to bring programs to the low-income families that will benefit the families, a.k.a. if your kids ain't passing math, give them a tutor program, life skills training. So this has developed over the housing boom kind of market. This is like something that's fresh and new.
New.
This is new for affordable housing because these are brand-new apartments, new. You know, so people that don't live on new money,
mm-hmm.
that may not make, you know, they got to live in old, broken down apartment
right.
complex, can live in these very new apartments and have programs there for their children while they go to work, blah, blah, blah. So what we're doing as the Association of African American Single Mothers,
mm-hmm.
we're going out there and we're saying, hey, we have these wonderful programs. The majority of them are minorities.
Oh.
Our programs help minorities. We target the moms. We help them with the math. We have the Boys to Men Project for the
boys.
So
it's like the perfect
it's a partnership. Yes.
Of the two
right.
things that are necessary.
Right. And my experience over the week has been, yes, they must have these programs, but they're not too keen on what actually to provide.
Exactly.
You know, so there, that's where we come in because, once again, like we say, we are out there in the street. We
uh-huh.
know the boys out there on the green box got to get off the green box off of Truxell and San Juan because
oh.
that's where they get harassed. So we got the Boys to Men Project coming to the Thomas so we can get the boys that ain't got nowhere to go but the green box.
Uh-huh.
We getting them out. But the downfall is you can only be a part of these programs at these affordable housing complexes if you live there. So if you don't live there, you can't be a part of the program.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we go on the outside where I'm at and say, well, if they don't live there, they can have it here where we've got agreements here with Harbor Oak. And we'll have the same programs here.
Okay.
But my main thing is they gave us an opportunity to get our feet in the door to do something that is relevant for black people, people, minorities, single moms, boys growing up in these apartment complexes only with their mom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to feed them. We're going to educate them. They're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. And then they promise us, because we're in contract negotiations
mm-hmm.
right now, They're going to promise us that they will fully support our program, saying, yes, we've chosen to use programs developed by the Association of African American Single Mothers.
Oh,
and we guarantee that, you know, it's just not a babysitting service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The majority of the programs out there in the public schools, we're not just a bunch of damn babysitters. We're there trying to make a difference for the families, and that's where we're coming from.
That's excellent.
And, you know, just to end, and we're running a minute long, my meeting also reflected here in the Thomas. 180 or so plus students out of these two high schools do not have enough credits to graduate.
Yeah.
Okay? So what do these kids do? We don't know. But then new California law, we'll talk about it more when we come back.
Okay.
New California law, that if 51% of the parents in a particular school agree that a underperforming teacher, underperforming principal needs to go, guess what? He goes. The school board no longer dictates all these underperforming schools and teachers in our neighborhoods. Parents have to stand up for their children and say, you know what, if my kid has been there for 4 years and he can't graduate and you've known it for the past 4 years, I think you need to go right along with the continuation school with my kid. You
uh-huh.
see what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you.
All right, so this is a diary. This is all about what we love about our community, what we're doing to try to help our community. And, you know, we haven't played Funky Dan in quite some time, so I'm going to play Funky Dan right now.
Right on.
Right on. That was Funky Dan, and I'm Funky Stacy with the Association of African American Single Mothers. This is the Funky Diary, and I am with Greg here every Funky Sunday at 3, from 3 to 4. And today we're talking about more Black history stuff. We're going over what's up at the Southern Poverty Law Center. I think I left that out in my dissertation of what's going on today. And we're also talking about Black inventors. Some crazy stuff went on last week in our beloved United States of America in terms of racial issues. And, you know, if there's one thing that's really important to me, as it is to, as far as my family, I always love to educate myself first, my kids, my family, let them know what's up, because there's nothing more powerful than an educated person. So that's what the diary is all about, too, is to bring some knowledge to my Black people, to all people. But because I am blessed to be an African American born in America in 1964 by two wonderful parents, the youngest of 11 wonderful children, I owe a duty to myself, to my God, to my parents, and to do my best for my people. And that's what this diary thing is all about. So, first things first, we're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're just going to, every week we try to feature what they do, so we're going to talk about them for just a quick second. You know, last time we talked about them, it was about a lawsuit with the chain gang, and they stopped all of that by filing suit. And
Oh, right.
We're going to continue with another thing. This is another suit that was filed, and it says the Southern Poverty Law Center suit wins $2.75 million settlement for exploited workers. This is in Columbia, Tennessee, and one of the largest settlements of its kind, an Arkansas forestry company, has agreed to pay $2.75 million to settle the legal claims of foreign guest workers who say they were cheated out of the wages they earned planting trees for the company. Superior Forestry Services, Inc., agreement to pay more than 2,200 guest workers makes this one of the largest settlements ever reached under the Migrant and Seasonal Agricultural Workers Protection Act. The lawsuit was brought on behalf of the workers by the Southern Poverty Law Center, Farm Worker Justice and Legal Aid Justice Center, and attorneys from two Chicago-based private firms, and we'll leave their names out. Again, Superior Forestry is one of the largest forestry contractors in the United States. And remember, anytime you want to look up anything related to Southern Poverty Law Center, everything we read, everything we give you comes directly from their website at splc.org.
I think ever use www anywhere?
Well, no. I know, huh? Just stop that. That's all we do. So it's splc.org. Okay? It says the settlement received preliminary approval this past Thursday, from the U.S. District Judge William Haynes Jr. It is subjected to final approval pending a fairness hearing in March. And that's typical for such a large settlement amount. And there was a photograph on their website, and under the photograph it stated, throughout the South, men imported from foreign countries are doing backbreaking forestry work under the federal government's guest workers program. Denied the protection of the marketplace, these foreign workers are modern-day indentured servants, bound to unscrupulous labor contractors who routinely exploit them. So that's what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something about the South, boy, they love treating people like slaves in the South.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that far, though, and I know we're not really talking about this, but, you know, from the illegal aliens we have, the cross
in California,
border from Mexico.
Right.
It's the same type of thing. The difference is it's not sanctioned by this.
Right. It's, and the difference is they didn't get caught yet here in California. So, you know, that's just... It's crazy. It's just crazy. So if you want to read more about that, go to their website, because we went on a little long, so we want to make sure we don't miss out on any of the other stuff. But Southern Poverty Law Center basically is like a watchdog group for all the racist organizations, and they have a hate map on their website that shows you just about everywhere in the United States where there's existing or up-and-coming hate groups. So check it out. It's always good to know. So today on the diary, we're going to go over, we spent about, two or three weeks on the Black Panthers, and we did not yet go over the quiz. So I just want to give quiz questions right now. And then what we need you to do, it will be posted on the website first thing tomorrow morning, the questions with the provision for you to put in an answer. The first five students that we get correct answers get a $25 Regal movie gift card for themselves and their family.
Ooh, can I win?
No. No. All right, here we go. The Black Panthers, you know I love them. So question number one. Okay, we'll switch off. I'll be one, you do two. Like that.
Okay.
Okay, question number one. Where was the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense founded? Question number one. No, we're not giving an answer.
Right.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm sorry.
Read question two?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Who are the founding members of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense?
Question number three. Question number three. What single act announced the Black Panther Party's presence to the people of Oakland in February of 1967?
Okay, question number four. What was the Black Panthers' response when California passed the Mulford Act, a bill designed to ban the display of loaded weapons in 1967?
All right. Question number five. Which is the first of the Black Panther Party's 10-point program, which is the first of the Black Panther Party's 10-point program. Question number six.
I'm losing the page.
Oh, that's okay.
Sticking together. Okay. Oh, okay. What is question number six? What is the name of the book that got Eldridge Cleaver the position of Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party?
All right. Question number seven. Who did the Black Panther Party draft as Field Marshal of the East Coast in June of 1967?
Question number eight. What was Huey P. Newton charged with on October 28, 1967?
All right, question number nine. What was the name of the FBI division given the task of destroying the Black Panther Party?
Question 10.
And my last question.
Oh, is it?
Is it?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Oh, no, it's not.
Okay. Sorry. Who were the first Black Panther members to run for political office?
Good question.
Yeah, it is. All of these are.
Yep. Question number 11. Bobby Seale was killed in a police shootout on May 6, 1973. Is that true or false? Bobby Seale was killed in a police shootout on May 6, in 1973. True or false? That's question 11.
Okay, question 12. The Black Panther Party started free breakfast programs for children, free clinics for the greater Oakland community, and brought Black history to American schools. True or false?
All right, cool. Question 13. True or false? Also, true or false? Huey P. Newton was killed by his drug dealer. True or false?
And I think that's the last one.
Is that the last one? 13 questions. You can give your answers if you know them now, anytime, by email. Email me at director@aaasm.org, or you can wait until tomorrow till they're uploaded and an opportunity for you to fill in a form and to do that as well. So. That was our Black Panther quiz. So, next, Black History Month and the history of Black History Month. And I think that is very important, and I'm very happy to be able to present that to you. So now what we're doing, we're going to present the origins of Black History Month, which is very important because for me personally, you know, I don't even know as a kid if it was very important, but I know we did more when I was a kid for it than we do, you know, today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important that we know the origins of everything, I think, related to blackness. So the origins of Black History Month. What we now call Black History Month was originated in 1926 by Carter Godwin, G-O-D-W-I-N, Woodson. As a Negro History Week.
Oh.
Okay. The month of February was selected in deference to Frederick Douglass's and Abraham Lincoln, who were both born in that month. So, contrary to popular belief.
Wow.
I didn't know Abraham was a brother. Contrary to popular belief.
No idea.
Contrary to popular belief, Lorraine, why did they pick February? Why do all Black people say they chose February?
Because it's the shortest month.
Because it's the shortest month of the year. So come on, Black people.
I don't think any Black person doesn't know that. Huh?
Right, so, right. Every Black person thinks that.
We joke about it,
and that's why we got to stop putting the worst on even on ourselves. They chose that month because of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln's birthdays, who were both in February.
I forget.
Now, the son of a slave, Carter G. Woodson, was born in New Canton, Virginia, on December 19, 1875. That's why he's a righteous brother, a Sagittarius. He began high school at the age of 20 and then proceeded to study at Brea. How do you say that?
No, it's B-R-
G-R-E-A
college.
I think it's
Berea.
Berea College, the University of Chicago, the Sorbonne, and Harvard University, where he earned a PhD in 1912, the year my dad was born.
Right.
That's crazy. Carter G. Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History in 1915 to train black historians and to collect, preserve, and publish documents on black life and black people. He also founded the Journal of Negro History in 1916, Associated Publishers in 1922, and the Negro Bulletin in 1937. Woodson spent his life working to educate all people about the vast contributions made by black men and women throughout history. Mr. Woodson died on April 3, 1950, and Black History Month is his legacy. Carter G. Woodson, however, would be sad to know that out of all of the hundreds of black and women who produced so many substantial inventions, which we will discuss some shortly, from the development of crop rotation, the traffic light, the mailbox, gas mask, fountain pens, typewriters, telegraph, the golf tee, Tiger Woods, automatic gear shift.
Ooh,
okay.
Thank God for that one.
The commode toilet to the method of dry cleaning clothes.
Oh, my God.
All brothers.
Can you imagine what we would be like if we didn't have the love?
Yeah.
Most of it, all of those things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, wait, we're not finished.
Oh, okay.
The electric lamp and the automatic car coupler. That's what you couple trains. And the four men were losing their limbs because the train would crush them. And a black brother said, my cousin lost his leg last time, so I'm going to hook them up. And he hooked it up, and that's the automatic car coupler.
Wow.
And air brakes for the railroad. Benefiting this country. All of those things, of course, benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we did benefits this country. Only four. Okay, so they're saying he'd be sad to know, based on that long list of people that I've given,
mm-hmm.
that only four black inventors have been inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in Akron, Ohio.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is the history of Black History Month. That is the history of Black History Month. And so what do you think?
Wow. You know, I definitely think that I love that you said that because I've never even, I wouldn't know that man's name.
No.
And to think that he gave us all so much, so many things, and then, you know, to think that people have stupid things to say, act like we're stupid, but we'll go into that in another section.
Right, right. So, yeah, so that is the big thing. Okay, so we have a couple minutes. We're going to go into our first inventor. So these are all African-American inventors. If you go to our website, www.aaasm.org, we have a link on our homepage to Black Inventors, and we have A to Z. I mean, we've invented everything, just like we said, down to the Super Soaker, and I just spoke with a black male a couple months ago that if you have, like, a BlackBerry or whatever, his invention was a GPS system that could track down and monitor, and what you would do is give these phones with this system, and they all have GPS, but he could tailor and program it a certain way where he would always know where his high profile, so it would be like a BlackBerry, a high profile athlete, a politician would always have on him.
Good.
That way you would know where he is all the time. If something went down, he could press a button and send for help. And, you know, you would always know where your dude was at and can get him out of trouble.
Oh,
you know, before
yeah.
before he takes all of his guns and shoots up everybody at the club, he can press help and a team of somebody can come and swoop him away
wow.
before he loses his contract and his career.
Oh.
What do you think?
I think maybe they could use their brain, too.
Yeah, well, we know that. Yeah, so Edmund Berger. Some historians have reported that Edmund Berger invented an early spark plug, and he's featured on our site this month.
Yeah.
Okay, an early spark plug on February 2nd, 1839. However, Edmund Berger did not patent his invention. That's what we always don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Spark plugs are used in internal combustion engines, as in the cars we drive, right?
Right.
And in 1839, these engines were in the early days of experimentation. Therefore, Edmund Berger's spark plug, if it did exist, would have to have been the very experimental in nature, as well as perhaps the date was a mistake.
Oh.
According to Britannica, a spark plug or sparking plug is a device that fits into a cylinder head of an internal combustion engine and carries two electrodes separated by an air gap across which current from a high-intensity ignition system discharges to form a spark for igniting fuel. So it says, let's see, and these engines were in the early days of experimentation, therefore Edmund Berger spark plug, if it did exist, would have had to have been very experimental in nature as well, or perhaps the date was a mistake. Okay, so he's saying either that date was a mistake or it was very experimental.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to have more Black inventors. This is the diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday, 3 to 4. We're going to take a little break, and on this break, let's see what we're going to play. Something to show you how much I love.
Oh, that's so nice.
Let's see, All the Way. Let's do that. I like that one from the Valentine's Day. So let's play All the Way. Can we do that?
I think we can.
All right, let's go. cool, cool. Cool, cool, cool. That's all the way. This is Stacy loving you all the way every Sunday from 3 to 4. Isn't that cheesy? Was that cheesy?
No, I'm a knowledgeable person about
me
that.
And Ray loving you all the way
Sunday. Oh, that? I thought you meant the
name. Oh, no.
No, but it's cute.
Okay, cool. We here every Sunday. This is the Diary, the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. Me and Ray here every Sunday, and we are continuing with our Black Inventors, Black History Month. We figure it's a Black History Life, so we're trying to let you know and tell you something every week about your Black history, which should make every Black person very proud. And what I'm trying to do, my goal, not only for myself, and this is how I am who I am, I build myself up because I know those Black people that work so hard to make sure, one, I wasn't ghetto, I wasn't ignorant, I didn't let this world take control of me just because of what may seem to be, you know what I'm saying? I owe it to Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Panthers, not to mention Willie and Willa Mae Johnson. To walk on this earth to
mom and dad, to do my best to
live a life that they would be, even though God has already taken them away. When I do meet them, I want them to say, you know what, little girl, you handle biz like I expected you to. Like, I would be proud if I was sitting right there with you.
That's it.
You know, unlike Tiger Woods' mama looking so ashamed. Oh. You know what I mean? And we all make mistakes. And I just wanted to mention on that really quick, like 10 seconds. The only thing Tiger Woods did wrong, to me, in my opinion, was way back when he got married. That's what he did wrong. Because if he wasn't married,
none of this would be an issue.
You know, just because you get all the money and the fame, you don't have to get married.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not full running to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out, Tiger. You wasn't attractive to a young boy.
Played.
But, you know, you should have played. He wasn't,
you know, and it makes
he wasn't
sense
attractive.
That,
he's still that, not.
Right, but it
so
makes
the money made him look better. So all the holes and everything I wanted, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, that's in my opinion, and now he's paying the price of having poor judgment. Yeah, you know, you have problems. You should have figured that shit out when you thought – when you had a wife and you still had to go with hookers, that's when you should have went to therapy.
Because, huh, maybe something
you know,
wrong.
Maybe something wrong that I like hookers and my wife.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting her pregnant, but yet I'm going to hookers.
Right.
You know, I mean, but my thing is, young Black men, you got the money. Don't get married. Why are you getting married? You get married because you want to settle down and be faithful to one person, which nowadays is almost next to impossible.
Right.
But if you can do it great. But you don't have to force yourself to do it.
I know.
I forced myself to do it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm on a different mission, I say, and now I know hindsight's 20/20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I know why I had to be a mom and all of this. I was meant to be a mom. I was never meant to be a wife. You know, and I know that now, and I knew that then. You know what I'm saying? And my thing, my philosophy was, I'm doing this. If you could just follow me and help me out, we're going to do some stuff. But a man, that's not the philosophy. That's not what you tell a man. That's what a man tells a woman. That's not what a woman tells a man. So that's why my stuff never works. You know what I'm saying? When I was married, I'm going to be this. I'm going to do this. Why don't you just come on and be with the program and help me out? That's not how it's meant to be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why it didn't work for me.
That makes sense.
You know, men are supposed to tell a woman. This woman is supposed to be.
No, what I really think it is that there should be a partnership set up.
Right.
To where the things that the woman brings to the table is just as valuable as the things that the man brings to the table.
Right.
And
but, you know, on a whole different other level, you know what I'm saying? Am I the way I'm was,
right.
You know, the man's not the help. If the man ain't the main thing, then it's not going to work. Then you don't
so
need the man.
I can see what
you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
They seem to need to be the priority of.
You know, they should be the leader. They should be the leader.
Right.
I mean, they should. My dad was the leader. You know, he should be, even though my mom was dominant, my dad was still the leader.
I think it's leadership in different areas.
In different areas.
Yes.
But you got to lead somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Not just with your demons. You know,
very true.
Not just with you.
Right on stage, honey.
You don't just lead with your demons. Okay.
On stage.
Anyway, here
that
we go.
That was more than 10 seconds, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Black and Miz. Okay, next. That was great. I love it.
Yeah, I know. That was great.
All right. Next, really quick, Alice Parker. In 1919, Alice Parker of Morristown, New Jersey, invented a new and improved gas heating furnace that provided central heating.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alice Parker. Okay? And if you go to, and all of this information I got off of blackinventorsatabout.com.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So everybody can go there. Now, the next one is a very a particular favorite of Ray, and we're going to let her read that one and the next one. Because half of the next one.
Okay.
All right, the next one. Daniel Hale Williams. He lived from 1858 to 1931.
Yes, and let's see. African-American doctor Daniel Hale Williams is credited with having performed open-heart surgery on July 9, 1893, before such surgeries were established. He was the first.
Yes.
In 1913, Daniel Hale Williams was the only African-American member of the American College of Surgeons.
Woo!
Yes, and his famous operation, he successfully operated on James Cornish, the victim of kniping. The operation was considered at the time to be groundbreaking. The doctor opened the patient's chest, revealing a beating heart that had never been done before. They thought that that was like sacred and that you, a whole bunch of weird things, you know, but
right. They
never actually opened the chest. So the doctor opened the patient's chest, revealing a beating heart to stitch a small wound in the pericardium, the sac surrounding the heart. And it was a groundbreaking surgery. The only time the chest was ever opened was if it was opened by, you know, a knife or something in the injury.
Did he live?
Yes.
Okay.
Not maybe not as long as he would have today.
Well,
but,
yeah, right, but
you
he
know,
survived.
But the reason that I wanted to read that is because my dad is a doctor, and our last name is Williams, and he has been, this man has been his hero.
What kind of doctor is your dad?
And that's when, exactly, he's a cardiologist.
Which is a heart surgeon.
Which is a heart surgeon.
Yeah.
And he is one of the leading experts in black-related diseases, which is all of the things that more likely hit the black community.
And your dad works at UCLA, right?
He's a professor at UCLA, but mostly he does speaking tours and writes books.
Right, and he's a black man, so he's part of our black history, and his name is what?
His name is Dr. Richard Allen Williams.
And he's a musician as well.
And he's a jazz musician, yes.
So look him up, give him props, say you heard about him on the diary.
There you go.
So he'll be a guest.
Well,
you know, we make history every day. Like I said many times before, my dad, born in 1912, was one of the founding members of the Golden Gate Quartet. If you watch Viva Las Vegas, which Priscilla Presley was on Larry King, about Viva Elvis. So I want to see if you put Viva and Elvis together, if my parents and my family should be getting some royalties. Because my dad was in Viva Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Once again, the nightclub act with Anne Margaret in Vegas and Elvis are dancing. That's my dad's quartet. He's the leader. Looks like me, little short man, flat head in the back. I look like my dad, Geechee Dan. Like he was a musician, so he was a director. He was
the
quartet. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
Bill Johnson. Wow. He played with Ry Cooder. White people know Ry Cooder. He played before he passed away in 1980. He played at Carnegie Hall. He did a couple of albums. He was in some movies.
My dad
as a
probably
younger man.
Knows who
yeah, I'm sure your dad.
He's very deep
and
into
your dad,
that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
You know,
and he had some albums with Ry Cooder and a bunch of stuff I have on tape. So we are black history. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, wow.
We are black history.
Absolutely.
My dad was a humble, wonderful man, the father of 11 kids, devoted husband for 32 years before cancer killed him. In World War II, he was a veteran, and, you know, took care of his family, took care of his wife, even in death. You know what I'm saying?
But we cannot say enough about both your dad and my dad's wives.
Exactly. Right. Oh, my mom was
down for the game.
Right.
They stayed in
and
there. They
no matter what, they stuck together and they took care of their families. Mm-hmm. My mom was and to my dad's credit, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for 11 kids, which amazingly had a 2-story, 6-bedroom home on 48th Street and I'm not even gonna say, but. It's a big old greenhouse right now. It's a huge backyard. We grew. I was born and raised there.
Yeah.
I moved there when my dad passed away. My mom moved to Diamond Bar. My dad took care of us. Wasn't no running out.
Exactly.
Had
my
little,
dad, too.
He had
my...
a little nip in his back pocket.
There you go.
My dad leave the house in the 6 o'clock in the morning. He'd come home at 5 o'clock. And I can remember myself to this day standing on something, looking at my dad backing out the driveway. That's why I'm an early bird to this day.
Oh, that's
I
so
always
cute.
Had to get up
to see
and
him
be like, bye, Dad. You know,
that's adorable.
You know, and, I mean, parents, that's why kids are, they need it. And he died when I was 15. But I look at him, I act like him, I cook like him. My sister said, you treat your kids like Dad treated us, which was like the biggest honor I could have ever had in my life, because my dad was a wonderful, loving father on top of a hardworking father.
That's
Black history. Uh-huh. We all Black history, you know?
Yes.
And before I die, my dad is going to be honored in everything that I do, because he was a cook. I'm a cook.
I'm a drinker. That's great.
I love you, Willie Thomas Johnson.
Yay.
Anyway, now, who we got next? Marjorie Joyner. Okay. You want to read it?
I don't care.
Okay.
An employee of Madam Walker's empire, Marjorie Joyner, invented a permanent wave machine. This device, patented in 1928, curled or permed women's hair for a relatively lengthy period of time. And we know we all wanted that.
We all needed that,
yes.
Okay?
The wave machine was popular among women, white and black, allowing for longer-lasting wavy hairstyles. Marjorie Joyner went on to become a prominent figure in Walker's industry. Though Marjorie Joyner never profited directly from her invention, for it was the assigned property of the Walker Company.
Of course, you know everything. And what people have to understand, back in those days, mm-hmm. pretty much everything we did. You know, when my dad went to World mm-hmm. War II, he lost all of his rights to everything he did in reference to the Golden Gate Quartet. He was replaced. He lost everything, you know, and that's how they did us back then.
Well, at least this, I mean, because Madam C.J. Walker is a black woman as well. So
right.
She was one of the most powerful business owners of the day
that
was black,
right?
You know, and that was unheard of, but it was because she was a madam.
Right.
But
oh, well, yeah.
She was
really important,
you know. She was, but she knew how to make money and run a business. That's
okay.
All, you know. She knew what the people wanted.
All right, just a little bit about Miss Joyner. She was born when?
She was born in 1896 in the rural Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia and moved to Chicago to study cosmetology. Madam Walker was a Chicago businesswoman who had come to fame as the beauty product supplier to Hollywood star Josephine Baker. Marjorie Stewart Joyner invented her wave machine as a solution to the hair problems of African-American women. However, she never profited from her invention. Madam Walker owned the rights. Marjorie Joyner became the director of Madam Walker's beauty school. Together with Mary Bethune McLeod, another wonderful woman, Marjorie Joyner founded the United Beauty School Owners and Teachers Association in 1945.
All right, and last but not least, Ms. Joyner also volunteered for several charities and helped house, educate, and find work for African Americans during the Great Depression.
Wow.
That was Miss Joyner. So I know my people would enjoy hearing some about hair, so that's good.
Yes.
Now, last but not least, and this is my most favorite invention because this is a cool dude and because I love sports, Jack Johnson, born 1878, died 1946. The world's first African American heavyweight champion patented a wrench on April 18, 1922. Isn't that something?
Wow.
Did you know that? Yep. Jack Johnson, and it goes more into, and his patent you can find on the website, go to about.com, look up Jack Johnson, and it shows his patent number, which is 1.413121, and it was patented on April 18, 1922. Jack Johnson defeated Canadian Tommy Burns on December 26, 1908, in the World Boxing Championship held in Sydney. This initiated the quest to find the great white hope. to defeat Mr. Johnson. James Jeffries, a leading white fighter, came out of retirement to answer the challenge. Jack Johnson won their fight on July 4, 1910. News of Jeffries' defeat ignited numerous incidents of white violence against blacks. Wow. However, black poet William Waring Cooney captured the exuberant African-American reaction in his poem, My Lord, What a Morning. And I didn't include that, but people, please, look it up yourselves. William, and his middle name, W-A-R-I-N-G, Cooney, C-U-N-E-Y, captured the exuberant feeling of the African-Americans. Look up his poem, My Lord, What a Morning. Jack Johnson, he was born John Arthur Johnson. I kind of like that last name. March 31st, 1878, in Galveston, Texas. Johnson boxed professionally from 1897 to 1928 and boxed in exhibition matches until 1945. During his boxing career, Jack Johnson fought 114 fights, winning 80 matches, 45 by knockout. He first won the heavyweight title by knocking out champion Tommy Burns in 1908, and held on to that title until April 5, 1915. Johnson was knocked out by Jess Willard in the 26th round during the World Championship fight in Havana. And that is our Black History, Black Inventor presentation for today, Sunday, February 21st. This is the diary. You know we love you. We love black people. So every time we put something on, we're going to try to educate black people. Lorraine's looking at me like she wants to laugh.
It's great. No.
Everything's
not
great.
Yeah,
all right.
Great.
So now we need to talk about, oh.
Yeah, we're behind schedule.
We're real behind.
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to add on. But give us your take on UC San Diego students.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and
wow.
let's skip what the AASM is doing, because we already talked about that earlier.
Okay, I don't know.
Just your thoughts.
My thoughts in general is how stupid can you be?
And
what I want everybody to notice, not so much as what bad happened, because if we preface the story about how they were making a mockery of the Black History Month by inviting to, a fraternity party.
Right, fraternity.
Right, and it was called the what cookout?
Ghetto? I don't know.
Ghetto, something like that, cookout. And
what they were doing now, I'm assuming these weren't black students. Am I assuming that?
Well, see, the thing of it is that San Diego,
UC San Diego.
Yes, it is predominantly white.
But I'm saying specific to this.
No,
There were black people there.
They were white. It was white.
All white
students.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm cool. We're saying what I'm going to say.
In fact, the invitations themselves that were sent over the internet were requested to be erased once read.
Okay, look. And do me a favor, white people everywhere. Don't do us a favor by celebrating what we don't care about in the first place. Black history is what made this country great. Black history is not sagging your pants, although that's what you think, because that's as far as your mind will go.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have enough black business people that like to perpetuate that Adam Russell Simmons and all of that type of shit that makes us all look like a bunch of monkeys and a bunch of disrespectful goons, but that's not what black history is all about. You can stop it, because as far as the future is concerned, and that's all I care about,
right.
I can't do anything about the inactions of the NAACP, Mr. Permed Head Sharpton, or Mr. Whatever it is, your boy.
Don't keep saying that.
Okay.
I never said that.
I'm sorry. That's my problem.
I said that.
Jesse Jackson. That's not who we are.
Right.
And that's why we're here today, because the children of 1964,
yeah,
the generation of the Black Panthers sitting there 10 years old wondering what these brothers in these suits and this leather and holding these guns, wondering really what they all about. And when I get to be a big girl, I'm going to be just like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's crazy. Have your fun, but when it's all said and done, That's not what black people are all about. So now, Michelle Obama, thank you very much for speaking out on issues of race when your husband cannot. We've already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot. You can. We thank you very much for being a very intelligent black family, knowing what you got to do and how you got to do it. The black farmers, settlement. Okay, basically black farmers filed suit because of racial discrimination in the farming industry. They get in the shaft, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
They get in the shaft, of course. Now they've won the settlement, and now the issue is, will the government allow us to get paid? Basically, they have to put that settlement in the budget. Will President Obama allow that to be part of the budget or whatever the deal
uh-huh.
is? And they think that he will, and they think that it will be all good. What else? Black farmers, Michelle Obama, what's up at the AASM? What I need right now is I need my people out there in the Sacramento area to volunteer. Because of partnership out there in the community, we need the help of everybody, black children or low-income families in general. Go to our website, www.aaasm.org, or go to volunteermatch.com. It shows just about all the volunteer, it does show all the volunteer positions, everything that we need, and if you have time, an hour a week, we don't care, 30 minutes, we will put you to work.
Excellent.
Right?
Yes, okay. Right.
So this is the diary. You know we love you. We love black people. We love children. We love people that are underdogs. We love people who have been getting the shaft, and what we don't love are people that think they can get away with treating righteous people in unrighteous ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we here. We're doing the best we can. I love you guys. I love my family. This is the diary. Please go to our website, www.aaasm.org. If you know anyone in the Sacramento County that needs food, elderly, it really don't make a difference, but specifically elderly, seniors, children, single mothers, sign them up for the food program. I'll contact them directly. We'll get them all signed up. Ray, you want to say something? We got a couple seconds left.
Thanks for listening. You were saying before that we've gotten a lot of hits and a lot of,
things. A lot of people going
people
to the show page and listening after that.
And we have to say thank you because it's so much fun for us to do this.
It is. It's a lot of fun because we love you. I love you. I do this because I love my people. I love black people. I love all people. But most of all, I love kids. And kids need a chance. So we're here to give kids a fighting chance. This
right
is the diary. Come back next Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, people. Love
you.
See ya.